Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara on Kufam and Bezer, the very last words, and we now turn just to remind ourselves of the machlokas, with the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Chista, Rabbi Rav Huna, with regards to someone who wants to fill a bucket with water and bring it from the water onto the ship. According to Rav Chista and Rabbi Rav Huna, they said that you need to dafka have the area of four tefachim wide to enclose it and fill the bucket through that place. And the Gemara learned out that the reason was because that they hold that if it's a karmelis from the ground to the water surface, and if you don't do it in that process, you'd be carrying from a karmelis to Rishus HaYachid. Therefore, it's needed to extend the closure and create a Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaYachid above it. And so then the Gemara also said that. So then, according to them, the Gemara asked, "How is it possible to? To get rid of the shofachin di day, to get rid of the wastewater?" To which the Gemara answered, "The shadileaf adafna de svina," that he pours it on the outer wall of the ship, and he does it, meaning he does it in an indirect manner. And the Gemara was learning out that we learned out that kochor de karmelis lagazru, that in a situation the Chacham didn't decree, in a situation where someone was doing indirect koach, even though he was actually creating the din of hotzah, but since it's a karmelis only to Rabbanan, in this indirect fashion, it's going to be mutter. So now the Gemara says, "Umina timran, how do I know that this is really the case, that a kolchob a karmelis l'gazer, that indirect force with regards to karmelis is going to be mutter?" The Gemara says, from the following braisa, "Tisanya svina ein mitatlin lo mitoch liyam v'lo miyam l'tolcha," that someone is not allowed to carry from inside the sea, into the Svina, into the boat, or from the boat into the sea, because that would be transferring from Rosh Hashanah into a Karmelis. So it's also not turning on to the next Talmud. Rabbi Yehuda ever says, Rabbi Omer, Amuka Asar V'in Gvar Asara. If the ship is 10 Tvachim deep, but not 10 Tvachim high, above the water, meaning Rashi points out that the inside of the ship is 10 Tvachim high, but the top of the ship's walls is not 10 Tvachim above the surface area. So, and Rashi also points out that how do you have this? The ship was sitting low in the water because it was very heavy. There was a lot of heavy stuff. It was too heavy. The stuff in the ship was extremely heavy. So therefore, the tops of the wall were 10 tefachim, were within 10 tefachim of the water. So now, and then also, Rashi also points out that had the ship's interior not been 10 tefachim tall, it would have been a Rishus HaYachid, and it would be rather nidon as a karmelis. And then, for Rashi points out, transferring from a karmelis to a karmelis, from the boat into the water, would then be transferring from a karmelis to a karmelis, would be totally mutter. That's all Rashi. Now, mitalta mesocha liyam, avalo min yam mesocha. So the Braisa tells you, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to carry from inside the sea, inside the boat into the sea. However, not the other round. You can't draw water from the ocean into this boat. So the Gemara now asks, so what's the difference? The Gemara says, "Ma'ishna min ayam lesocha delo dekamatat mekarmelis utziyachid." But at the end of the day, what's the difference? From the siptashi, you're going to be, what are you doing? You're carrying from the karmelis to rishus yachid. So, but the Gemara says, then that should be the same as X far the other way around. Mitocha liyam nami. So why should I be allowed to carry from inside the ship into the sea as well? Kamatat rishus yachid the karmelis. At the end of the day, I'm going to be carrying from a rishus yachid, a private domain to a karmelis. So that should be usher. Even lefi Rabbi Yehuda should be usher according to everyone. So the Gemara says, el alav achud. Rather, it must be that Rabbi Yehuda was talking about transferring from the ship by the ship's edge, by pouring something onto the top of the ship's edge, and then you let it flow down out onto the outer world of the sea. That there was the Gemara Kocho, and the Gemara says it's a good proof. So we learn from here that that's correct, that the Rabbanan didn't make a decree in this regard, with regards to Karmelis, because in this manner is not going to be us. Rabbi Yashar just pointed out, why should that be? In general, we see that if someone does a Koach, Rabbi Yashar brings a Raya from Poskibid that if you open up water into water a garden, that is even though it's their indirect koach, that as well was going to be usher. So why should this case of this dinder aban of karmelis be any different? Why should we be more mekel over here? So he ends up, he quoted to Tosfos before with regards to why the Gemara needed a pasuk with regards to otzah, and Tosfos said that because otzah is a malacha grua, you need to do it exactly the way that the Mishnah, the mit was done in the Mishkan. So Rav Yashar thinks maybe dafka this only by otzah we're going to say this halacha, by everything else we wouldn't say this halacha, and he thinks that only by otzah it wouldn't be a problem. However, everything else, it would be an issue to do it through kocha, would be an issue with regards to malachas on Shabbos. So very interesting shot from Yashiv. And Tosfos just asked on this Gemara. Tosfos asked Akasha though, but at the end of the day, according to, this is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, Lachora, there's the Shita of Rabbanan, the similar we saw before, the Shimon, we brought a Raya from Shimon, but the Tanakhama disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda, so what do you bring a Raya from Rabbi Yehuda? So Tosfos is bothered by this. Tosfos over here, and Daf Rabbi Yehuda Maschel, the Rabbi Omer, and the first Tosfos on Aramad, so he's bothered by this Kasha, and Tosfos says that really you have to assume that the Chachamim are going to agree with Rabbi Yehuda in this regard, that they're really only arguing in a situation Where the direct transfer is going to be permitted through the makom tor. That was only machlokas where they're going to argue on. However, everyone's going to agree that when it comes to kolcha, when it comes to indirect transfer through karmelis, everyone's going to agree that it's going to be permitted. So really, it's not just a raya in Rabbi Yehuda, rather it's a raya for everyone, and everyone's going to agree. Okay, very interesting. Oh, one last nakuda. I meant to mention, Rashi points out, though, that one last thing, that why is it only going to be mutter in a downward direction? Because even Rabbi Yehuda is going to only permit it in a situation where you're doing it of shofchin today, where you did it in the kocho, in the indirect form, which you can only do, you can let it flow over when you put it on the top of the edge. That was the only way you could do it. It was only downward, obviously. That's why it makes sense. Rabbi Yehuda is not going to allow you to draw it from the water into the boat, because even Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that that case would be usher, because that's not possible to do it through kocho. You only be able to do it directly, and therefore it'd be usher, and that's what explains the chilek as well. Okay, now we're ready to move on. The Gemara now says, Amar Rav Huna, Hanei Matiyas Ademeshan. So if you have these type of small boats, Rashi points out that they're these small boats from Meshan, and apparently they were very narrow, they were wide on the top and narrow on the bottom. Sounds like something that's similar to a canoe. Ein Metalten Ben Ella Be'arba. Someone's not allowed to carry within four amos, because they're going to be considered a karmelis. Why is that? So Rashi points out, the bottom of the boat is less than four tefachim wide, and its walls, therefore, are going to not have the status of Rishus HaYachid. So then, since you don't have the status of Rishus HaYachid because it's less than the shear, and you have a problem of a machitza, you don't have a machitza over there because they're going to be considered, we're going to see that they're going to be machitza tuliyah, they're going to be machitza that's suspended, which is not going to be considered a halachic machitza. Therefore, we're assuming right now that the upper part of the boat has four tefachim, the lower part doesn't, and it doesn't go down, it's not going to be halachically recognized as a machitza, because we're assuming that it's a mechitza tliya, only suspended, not going down, and therefore it's going to be judged as a karmelis. And okay, Tosos has a lot of kashas in Rashi. If you assume the whole problem is a lack of mechitzos, that's the way to get out of the kashas that Tosos is going to ask in Rashi. Arba. So now, this is only said in regards, if we're assuming that within three tefachim of the ground at the bottom, the boat doesn't have the width of four tefachim. However, within three tefachim of the bottom of the boat, there is a width of four tefachim, then we would have no problem, because we have learned before, a few times already came up, the concept of lavud, because we would assume that lavud would tell you that really the four tefachim would go down to the ground. It's viewed as if you have a full four tefachim already on the ground, and therefore it would not be an issue, because it would be valid mechitzas. So now the Gemara says, so ve'i malinu kaneva, even if the first case where you had a problem, it doesn't have the four tefachim within three tefachim on the ground, then if you fill it with reeds and willow branches, there's going to be no problem with that, because at that point we were assuming that the floor would be wide into four tefachim. And then we would also be assuming that that you wouldn't have a problem mechitza tluya. However, if the walls, Rashi points out that the walls of the boat still need to be 10 tefachim high from that point up, in order to make sure that you still have the status of Rishus HaYachid. Okay, so the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, though, maski filar of Nachman. Now comes the kasha on this. You wanted to assume that if you have at the top of this boat has four tefachim wide and the bottom does not, because it doesn't go all the way down. He asked a question of a lema gudaches mechitza. Why don't we say that there's a concept where you're going to pull and lower the mechitza? That's what it literally means. Gudaches means lim shoch, is to pull, and lower it is to pull and lower the mechitza. It really means that we're going to extend the walls downward. That's the easier way to explain it. It means that we extend the walls downward. And where do we have this concept? Some of you might be familiar, if you learn Maseches Sukkah, that we have this concept that if you have a kosher wall at the top, then we assume that the wall is going to go down. Even if you don't have three, you don't need to get to Lovud, you go to Achaz, we assume that the whole wall goes all the way down with regards to Masechah Sukkah. And then we also apply this halacha with Erevin, might be less familiar with some people, but the Erevin also, this comes up with the comes to halacha Mechitza for Erev, as well we apply the concept of good Achaz. So Rav Nachman's wondering, why won't we say good Achaz as well? The good Achaz Mechitza, that you're going to extend the wall downward, and thereby you're going to have halacha, meaning the fact that it's four tefachim on the top of this boat, extend that those four tefachim down to the ground, and then you would have a halacha Mechitza that's valid. So the Gemara says, Milatana, as in the Matana Braisa, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Nods, Kanev, Rishus, Rabbim, Rosha, Traska. If someone stuck a pole in the ground, in the Rishus, Rabbim, and on top of this pole, there was a basket which was four tefachim wide, which Rashi points out, was also not 10 tefachim deep, but the pole, if you took the pole and the basket together, then you would have actually affected 10 tefachim. That was all Rashi. Vizarak v'nach agabav chayav, and someone decided to throw something from their Rishus Rabim and it landed on this basket, you're going to be chayav. And the Gemara now says, al mamrina gudachas mechitza, because we assume right here that since we're giving this basket the status of Rishus Rabim, when you threw onto the top of this basket, we're assuming that we are extending the walls, and therefore you have a full-fledged Rishus HaYachid. Now, the only way you could assume that is if if you assume that because the walls of Basque are not considered Tfet Tvachabai, they're considered Tent Tvachabai because they're viewed as an extension of the pole in this regards. And therefore we have a lachik wall, and that wall would be considered Rosh Hashayachid fully. And again, this Rosh Hashayachid is going to be considered that you make you chayav and we extend the walls down, therefore creating a Rosh Hashayachid. And where says Hakanami name a good achis machitza? So in the case of the pole, why don't we also say that we're going to extend the walls down, or in which case it would be a full-fledged Rosh Hashayachid and you would be allowed to carry it in, because then it's Rosh Hashayachid. So but again, because the ball of the water is 10 tfachim high, and then you have the extension down 4 tfachim, you have the 4 tfachim on the top, and therefore it can go down. So the Gemara now says, the Gemara answers this, Gemara says, Maski Flor of Yosef. Rav Yosef challenged this understanding of Rav of Nachman. He said, V'lo shamilahu laha damar v'udam arav. So they said this in the name of Rav Rav, and then they said it in the name of Rav Chia, that Vitani Allah, and it was taught in a Braisa, that Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rav Yudah, Vechacham and Potrin, they say that the Rabbanan are saying you're going to be exempt in the situation where you throw an object in the Rosh Hashanah and on top of it had a traskel. They do not assume that it has a full status of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and therefore we see that according to them, we don't apply the halacha of good achis and machitza, that we're going to assume that according to them, there's really, Rashi points out, there's going to be machitza tliya, and we're going to say we don't apply to assume that there's going to be good achis, and then according to then it would not have that status. So then we don't apply good achis in all the circumstances where you have the open area. So then what would be the problem of Rav Nachman? The Gemara is bothered by Rav Nachman's kasha. So the Gemara, Abaye responds to Rav Nachman. The Gemara says, "Amrle Abaye." Abaye says a response back to Rav Yosef, sorry, who is attacking Rav Nachman. V'atol tizbra, you don't hold this as well, meaning you don't agree that we're going to assume that you do hold of good achis in this case. V'atana the braces of befirish amud berishus haravim gavos arachav. Arba, if you have a post in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin that's 10 tfachim high and 4 tfachim wide, ve'in bi'ikaro arba. However, the base is not 4 tfachim wide, meaning Rashi says that it's 10 tfachim high and 4 tfachim wide at the top, but not the entire duration of the height, meaning the lower part is less than 4 tfachim wide. V'yesh bekatzer shelo shlosha. The narrow part is 3 tfachim high. So again, now we're assuming that you don't have 4 tfachim high at the bottom, so then Zarek v'nach al-gaba of chayev. If someone throws an object and lands on this post, you're still going to be chayev for the din of hotzah from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim into the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. So we see over here, the lower part of the wall are not four tefachim yet. We are assuming that this post is considered a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and the Braisa tells you're going to be chayev. So the Gemara says clearly, this Braisa is holding al marmin and good achis mechitzasa. So clearly this Braisa is holding that we do apply the principle in this case of good achis, of extending the upper wall straight downward to the ground to create this enclosed area four tefachim wide. Hachanami good achis mechitzasa. Here too, in the case of the boat, we should also apply the principle of good achis, of extending the wall downward to remove the issue of the mechitza from the boat's upper walls, and assume that you're going to assume that we would say good achis, and it would be a Rosh Hashayachid, and you would be allowed to carry it. So now the Gemara says, so midi area, so now the Gemara continues, Gemara says, and really, is there any proof from the Chachamim that you revise the Siddiq? So it says, now, Hasam Havile Mechitza Shagdiyim Bokin Ba. Now, the Gemara is going to continue. We said that there's a Stam Breisa, but the Stam Breisa is not going to argue on what we said in the name of the Chachamim Potrin. So how are we going to get around that? So the Gemara is going to explain that as well. So the Gemara said that what you, Rav Yosef, was wanting to China, Hasam Havile Mechitza Shagdiyim Bokin Ba. That the case that you mentioned there, in that case of the basket on top of the pole, the extension of the wall is a case of which the goats can go through it. If the goats can go through it, that is going to assume that it ruins the status of this mechitza. Since it's a mechitza that's open too much, the chachamim are going to assume that we're going to say, meaning now the answer we're saying, Rashi says, is that we're talking about an answer, we do say good achis. However, this situation of the wall is we can't imagine it being closed. It's a problem over here. Since the animals can go through it, we don't assume it's a lachak status of mechitza. However, when it case to hacha havila mechitza shein agdim bokin ba, but in the case of the post, the extension of the wall is not enough where we assume that the goats can penetrate it, because the base is only slightly less than 4 tefachim wide, and therefore they would it would be a very small area of the extension, and therefore the chachamim would assume that in that case we would apply good achis to that case. So therefore, we're extending that, we're going to assume that the chachamim would also agree that in the case of the ship, we could say that good achis mechitzasa, that we're going to assume that into the water the creator is just a yachid into the boat, because there are no gediyim which are going to penetrate in the water. So that's what the fundamental answer the Gemara wants to give with regards to this. And the Gemara says that Amar Lei, The Gemara continues. Amar le Ravacha, Bred Ravacha, Ravashi, Gabi Spina Nami Aika Bikas Nami. Wait a second, though. There, at the end of the day, there is a fish can pass through this small, this open area that you have. You're granted. There's no. There's not going to be any goats that are going through in the water, obviously. But still, it's an opening in which the passage of fish are able to go through. So why don't we assume that there's a problem with the mechitza as well with regards to good achis in the boat? So the Gemara says, Amar le, Ravash responded, Bikia Stam in Loshme Bikia, that the opening, the passage of the fish, the opening of the fish is not considered a problem with regards to ruining the status of the wall downwards, and we would apply good achis. At the end of the day, what's the difference between a goat and an animal? So apparently, the passage of fish is apparently less noticeable, so therefore it's less visible to people who are seeing it, so therefore, for whatever reason, we don't extend the issue for the Bikas Dug. The Gemara says, Matt Timmer, how do I know to say this? That there's no problem of the opening of the passage of fish as being a problem for good achis. So the Gemara says, because the boy Mine Rabbi Tavla Mirav. Rabbi Tavla said it in the name of Rav, he asked a question. Mechitza Tluya Mao Shitatir Bechurba. Sorry, he asked of Rav. He didn't say the name of Rav, he asked of Rav. Mechitza Tluya Mao Shitatir Bechurba. So can you assume that we have the Mechitza Tluya, a wall that's literally suspended in the air? Can it permit carrying in a churba, is an area that was destroyed, or never fully ruined, meaning it was a building that was partially destroyed, but the ground level is still intact, so above it, are you allowed to carry? So since it has a part of the roofs, can you assume that the top of the roof can extend and create good achis? So he said, turning out to the next number, So he said, his answer is not yet. So Rav responded to him, "In mechitza tluya materis, that the suspended wall is not able to permit carrying within the area that's enclosed by it. Ella b'mayim, only with regards to water. To why? Because kalu shekila chamim b'mayim, that apparently it's a special leniency. The chamim allowed in water. People allowed to draw water on Shabbos." Meaning, and Rashi gives examples of this, that he says that the chachamim permitted one to draw water through a hole of the gustra, of the balcony that was going over the freshwater sea of the Carmelis, if he puts proper mechitzas around that area, because even though they're not actually touching the water, we apply good achis down in that situation. Rashi gives another answer, okay, but at the end of the day, there is this special kula that we apply dafka with regards to water, with regards to water that we see in this case. So now it was apparently Rav's answer was implied that we only apply this case of good achis, the special leniency only with regards for things in water, not for things on dry land. And Gemara now says, Va'amai, why chachamim ruin that? Ha'ika, because dogim, at the end of the day, though according to Rav, there's still this passage of fish, why shouldn't it ruin the din of good achis? Ela shamina, because I'm drawing shamina, that's we said before that when you have this is basically Ravashi is basically showing Abaye's support for Nachman's the Mount of Nachman's Kasha, is that at the end of the day there really is a difference between the passage of fish and the passage of Gedeim, and therefore we have a very good Kasha. Okay, now we're up to the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us that Tzvina Kshuras, when it comes to the ships that are tied together, you're allowed to carry the objects from this ship to that ship if they are tied together. So now the Gemara says, Pshita, that it's obvious that you're allowed to carry from one ship to the other. Why would you assume anything else? That they're both are just a yachid, and they're not going to move apart. So obviously it's going to be what they're to carry between the two of them. So the Gemara now says, the Gemara answers, I'm a Rava, l'netzucha l'hatir bitzit shebineim. Rava says that this ruling was only needed in order to tell you the chiddush that you're allowed to carry the ships if there's two big ships, and then the bitzit is a small boat in between them. And Rashi puts out, the chiddush is that even though the boat could slip from between the ships and cause carrying between them, which would be carrying from a Carmelis into this Rishus Yachid, which would be an Isser Rabbanan, we're not gozer yet, nonetheless we're not going to be gozer in this case, because the boat is there, at the end of the day it's still tied and the boat is still there. So the Gemara says, Amar le Rav Safra, Moshe, Shaper Ka'amrat. So Rav Safra called Rava Moshe. Interesting, in the Rishonim Achronim discuss, why in the world is Rav Safra calling him Moshe? Was that his nickname? Was that his actual name? Was he calling that? But he was referring to because he was the God of our door. So he was referring to like you're like the Moshe Rabbeinu of our door. I have an interesting lashon. Either way, he asks a question that says Metaltim is Zilazutna. At the end of the day, this doesn't really fit into the lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that you can carry from this ship to that ship, implying we're only discussing two ships. It doesn't apply that there's three ships. So how are you getting in this third ship over here? It must be that there's no situation of a third ship. The Ritva just points out that Rav Safra doesn't disagree with the ruling. He's just saying it's not meduyik in the Mishnah. Okay, so he's going to explain the Mishnah differently. So how is he going to explain it? He wants to explain the Mishnah differently. That this ruling is only a reference to the fact that if you have the ship, now Rashi says that we're discussing now two different owners of two different ships, and then The chiddush over here is that the fact that you tie them together, they're allowed to have an erev together and carry from this one to that one. So the chiddush of the Mishnah over here is that the Tosfos point out is that you're included in the lachas of erev. And why would I have thought that they're not included in the lachas of erev? Tosfos said because maybe I would have assumed that that only something like a house or a courtyard, which is going to be subject to the rules of erev. However, here that something that's moving around, it's not subject to the rules of erev. You're not allowed to make an erev. Kamashman that there is a chiddush, you're allowed to make an erev. And again, the whole concept of erev is that when the Rabbanan said that it's usher to carry an object between two different rishus yachid, between two different owners, lest you get confused with the rishus rabbin. So this would apply even to the case of a boat, and therefore you have to have an erev. So the Gemara continues, and Gemara says, "V'uchadisana." This actually works out well with the brisa. Sfinos k'shuras of a zoo. If someone, in a case of two ships that are tied together, ma'arvin metalplin mizula zoo. So if the owners are allowed to make an erev together, and they're allowed to carry from this one to that one, nifsiku ne'esu. However, if the ships are later separated, they're going to become usher to carry. It's going to be usher to carry between them because their separation has now ruined your erev. And the Rashi just points out, because the Erev can only create the adjacent private domain, the private domain separated by a Carmelis or a public domain cannot be joined with an Erev. So therefore, the water separating the ships now has created a Carmelis, and therefore you've created a problem with regard to carrying. So now the Gemara says, Chazrav and Iskashrav, the Gemara continues, if they're again tied again, Bein Shogin Mizin and Bein Anusin Bein Muati, Matuin, that if you did them, whether it was by accident or on purpose, otherwise accidentally, all these cases, it's going to be Chazul HaTenarisha, and the ships are going to go to the original Heter, that the Erev is going to be reestablished, and one be allowed to carry between the two ships. We're going to get back into that, whether we're amazed at how that works, and we're now continuing, the Brisa continues, V'chein Machtzalos HaPrusas, and so too, with the case if you have mats that are hung to form some type of machitza between two things in the Rosh Hasharabim, Ma'arvin Metalta Mizvelazu. So then, if you made an Erev, then you're allowed to carry between these machtzalos, this type of machitzas that you made in the Rosh Hasharabim, Niglalu Ne'esru, however, the mats are going to be rolled up, then they're going to ruin the Erev, then it's going to be usher to carry them in, because it's going to go back to having the status of Rosh Hasharabim. Chazu v'nifshershu, if the mats are then going to be hung again, bein shogim v'zidi, bein anusin, bein mutuin, whether they did them by accident, on purpose, if you did them, another type of the case of anusim is even more by accident, you didn't know at all, bein mutuin, again, another type of shogig, chazu l'ater narishan, then they're going to go back to the original heter, they're going to be considered again the status of rishus yachid, and the air between them is going to be reestablished, and one's going to be allowed to carry. And the brisa ends off, shekol ha-mechitza, shenasa v'shavis, bein mishogim, bein b'mezid, shma mechitza, that when it comes to any mechitza, any wall, anything that you're creating, any type of partition you're going to be creating, on Shabbos, if you do it accident or on purpose, it's still going to be considered a violent lachik mechitza, and therefore, even though these mats are re-hung on Shabbos, they're going to be considered a valid mechitza, and since these rishuyos are joined by Shabbos of the era, they're going to be allowed to carry them. So we see from this brisa that the mechitzas that were made on Shabbos are going to be mutter, and they're going to be mutter in every aspect, even to say that you're allowed to carry from one to the other. So the Gemara now says, though, is that really true? The Gemara says, "Any the halacha we said in the name of the brisa really true." Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman taught us lo shana el izra. The Rabbanan told us there's only mutter the only nafkamina is going to be someone's going to be chayav if he threw an object from the Rishus Rabbim into this area that with the machtelas you put back, the mats are now put back, because once you put back the mats, you have now made a full-fledged level of the race, it's a full-fledged Rosh Hashayachid. So if you throw from this Rosh Hashayarabin to this Machtelis, you're going to violate the Isra Rabbanan, the Isra Raisa. However, Aval Talta Aser, but everyone's going to agree that carrying in this area is going to be Aser because you violated it in order to do this. The Raisa is clearly, but however, the Raisa seemed to imply that even if you do this on purpose, it's going to be Mutter. So, but again, the Raisa implies that you're allowed to even carry between both places if you did it on purpose. Sounds like everything was going back. Chazrula Hetero Narishan implied that every Malacha, everything that you're going to do, meaning you're allowed to carry between these two things, everything is going to become heter gomer. So the Gemara now wants to answer, how do we answer up for Rav Nachman and the Braisa? Ki itmar Rav Nachman, when Rav Nachman said his statement was amazed itmar, he was only discussing it that with regards to these walls, these partitions that are erected on purpose, violation of Shabbos. If you did it on purpose, then a person violated the din of Shabbos. Therefore, there's a din of Rabbanan to say that there's an iser hanah in that circumstance. Now, the Rishonim just point out that this is only going to be true in the case of In the case of the Machtelos, however, when we go back to the case of the ships, even if you do them b'mezid l'chora, it might even be mutter according to Machlokas Rashi. Tells us how to get into that, but basically the Rabbanim didn't. If it's an only nisur or Rabbanim that you did, even b'mezid, it could be that wasn't necessarily going to be usser. But the point, everyone would agree though, if you did it b'shogeg, then it would be mutter in this circumstance. Which Rabbi Elshav just asked a kasha though. He says that when Ma'aser Shabbos is usser, even if you do it b'shogeg. So why should this case be any different if you did b'shogeg, which all the Rishonim, everyone, Rashi tells everyone agree that if you did it by accident, it should be permitted. So the Rabbi Elshav points out that when it comes to Ma'aser Shabbos, a person changed the status of something. You changed the entire status of something, so then that makes sense to assume that you've created something new, so therefore it's going to assume that Ma'aser Shabbos is even b'shogeg. However, over here, when it comes to Tzah, we don't change the thing at all. That's what we said. It was why it's Malacha Geruah B'chlal. Then since you haven't changed anything, maybe therefore everyone's not going to be machmir in a case of shogeg in this circumstance for this Gemara over here. Okay, interesting thing. So now the Gemara continues. Now the Gemara says Amar Shmuel. That Shmuel says Vafilu Kshuros Bechut Hasarbal. Even if the ships were tied with a string of a coat that people used to wear, that even though it's a very thin cord, you're allowed to carry from one to the other if you carry this string, even this thin string. So Gemara says, "Hey, Chidamim, what was the Kiddush of Shmuel? What's the case of Shmuel? Idi Yachal Amidan, if the string is strong enough to hold the ships in place, then Pshita, then it's going to be obvious that it's allowed to be used. Idi Ein Yachal Amidan, if it's not able to be held in place, then Amai, then why should it be permitted to carry at all? Because the ships could obviously go very easily separate, in which case you'd have a violation of carrying from the sea with the medium of the sea, which would be the Isser Derabanan of carrying from a Carmelist. So what's the how? Either way you slice it, Shmuel is problematic. Either it's Pashut or it's against the Din." So Gemara says, "La'olam diyachal amida." No, really, Shmuel is teaching you that in a chanami, somewhere where something has to be the material that's able to hold the ships. You're going to tell me that it's pashut? No, Shmuel afuki ben nafshekai. So Shmuel is coming to tell you a chiddush. He's coming like exclude himself from a din that you may have gotten mistaken from a completely different din that he told you in Mishnah and Olos. That the Mishnah and Olos told us this. Now the Mishnah and Olos told us when it comes to a ship that you had a type of anchoring cable which was tied beneath the ship, and it was on the ship there was a dead body. The Mishnah tells you that if something was tied to the ship with the type of cable that is able to hold it in place, maybe La Tuma can be able to bring Tuma to the ship. Since this cable itself is going to have the status of Tuma, it's going to extend the Tuma to the ship. Just to give one minute background over here, we generally have the concept that a mace is always a Avia Vosa Tuma, right? It's the highest level, and anything that's in a house of a mace, any person touches the mace, it becomes an Ava Tuma. Now, is there any other example of Avia Vosa Tuma? So yes, we're going to learn from this Gemara as well over here. We learn Chela, Dechsib, Chal, Chever, we're going to learn a moment that Chever like a Halal. That if a sword touches a dead body, or it's in the same room as a dead body, does it extend to Olal? But the sword itself, any metal material, also based on this drush, the Gzeiras HaKasuv, also becomes the status of Avi Avosa Tuma, the highest level, and it can make something an Ava Tuma, right? And then after an Ava Tuma, can make a Rishon Tuma by people. If an Ava Tuma touches a person, it becomes a Rishon Tuma. However, a Rishon doesn't make a Sheni by a person, it can only be Matame Mashkin and Ochlin Mashkin. So now when it comes to this thing, we're talking about a cord that extended the tumah, we're telling you that it's going to acquire the same level as the tumah itself. Now the Gemara says, "B'davar shein mamida in mavila to tuma." However, the ship was tied with something unable to hold it. It's not going to bring the tuma to the ship because the cable is not able to acquire the same level of tuma as the dead body in the circumstance over here. So now, just Rashi points out that the Sakasha that we mentioned before that the ship can't acquire Tumah Bechlal. So what are we discussing over here? So Rashi says maybe we're discussing the small boats in the Yarden, the small wooden boats we mentioned, the Chananya over there held that it actually can in fact become Tameh. So that's what Rashi says. But now the Gemara says now, V'amar Shmuel said in this context, V'hu Shikshur B'Shalshel Shabazel, that the only case we're discussing in this Mishnah is that the ship has to be tied with an iron chain, which is going to have the status of metal as we mentioned, and then this metal chain, only that is going to have the same status of Tumah of Tumas Mace to become Avia Vosa Tuma. However, any other material is not going to be, any other material that you would use to anchor the ship would not create this same status, as we mentioned, because only the chiddush is only by metals do we have this gzeiras hakasuv. So now, because Shmuel had this din of the iron chain specifically by this case of Chayav Harkul Chalal, he had to teach you this by Hilchos Shabbos. Now the Gemara is going to flesh this out. La'inyan tumahu dichsev b'chalal Chayav Harkul Chalal. This drasha I mentioned before. This is a very famous drasha. The halacha tells you that when it comes to literally the pasuk means that the body of someone fell by a sword. We have a drasha that the sword is going to become like the body itself. We have a hekesh between the two things, and the body of mamish has a din of the status of the status. status of the dead body as well, and becomes aviv hasatuma. So then that metal chain is going to be required dafka if you use that to continue the tuma. However, so that you would have got confused with that. Maybe over here also the same status of that only when you're tying the boat with the Shabbos to the Erev, you would have got confused and thought, just like we have an inyan tuma, so over here you as well, you would have got confused and think maybe only if you tie the boat with a metal material that's going to be valid to create the Erev. That's not the case. That's what Shmuel is telling you about. Inyan Shabbos, kevan diyach, it's nothing to do with regards to bringing the tuma. It's a completely different din over here. That all the whole purpose is whether the boats are able to be held together. Once the boats are able to be held together, then we don't have a shaila anymore of potentially getting a problem of getting into a carmelist because you're going to travel, they're going to carry from one through the sea. So once you don't have that, it's a whole issue of them not getting separated. Then it's a completely different thing. Afila bechut asarbel. So therefore, he has the chiddush to tell you that even with the string of the garment is going to be enough as long as it holds it in place. So therefore, Shmuel really had to tell you this whole chiddush because of what he had said with regards to the dinim of olas. Okay, Mirtz Hashem will pick up into the next mishnah of Azorik, the last mishnah of the parak, and Mirtz Hashem daf kuf beis tomorrow.